Heaven. I will try this morning to expand somewhat on what I ended up with last Sunday concerning faith. I am still on the doctrine of election, the design of the election, and we've been looking at the doctrine of the work of the gospel, and now I've come to the subject of faith. I don't know that this is the best way to put it, but we might say faith, as far as those things that God's people are given and they engage in, faith is the primary gift. We know that we have the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. The Apostle Paul says. But when I began to consider this subject of faith, and I began to read the scriptures again, and especially Hebrews chapter 11, I was reminded of the fact, and because of certain recent events and circumstances, I was reminded of the fact that I fear that there are many people that think that faith is just a receiver of facts. And I'll put it another way, that faith is just a receiver of truth. Now, faith does receive the facts.
Yes, sir.
Faith does believe the truth. It receives the truth. But faith is active.
Yes, sir.
That is, the faith which God gives is active. The problem I proposed last week is this: how do I know I have true faith?
Yes, sir.
That's the question. How do I know I have that faith that is God's gift? And as I said last week, I cannot preach a message. I cannot give certain details as, for instance, A, B, C, and D, and so define faith so that you might see your faith and to have this question settled once and for all. Because the fact is, even for those of us who believe by the free and sovereign grace of God, we still must cry out, we say, Lord, I believe. But something else is still there.
Yeah.
Help thou mine unbelief.
Amen.
The problem with religion is they think they're done with unbelief.
Yeah.
They think they're done with unbelief. The true believer, that is the born-again believer, the believer who has been given life sovereignly by the sovereign fiat of God and has been converted through the testimony of the gospel of God's grace as it is in Christ Jesus, that person knows that deep within their heart and mind still dwells that reprehensible, God-hating action of unbelief. It's still right there with me just as much as it ever was. And there is a part of me that hates God more now than I did 20 years ago. Because the more I discover about the truth of God, the more God reveals His truth to me, David, the more my flesh rises in rebellion against God. Now let me go through this again. This in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm not necessarily going to read one passage. Remember what I said last week, faith not only receives the truth, it responds to its precepts. And I'm going to give you this quote again by J.H. Thornwell. I gave it to you before. He was a Presbyterian preacher in 1850s when he gave this quote. This is what he says about faith. True faith includes in it the renunciation of the flesh as well as the reception of the Savior. True faith admires the precepts of holiness as well as the glory of the Savior. Now, it has been brought to my attention here recently that there, I won't say is, because I can't say that this morning, but there have been among even our small group people who profess to believe God but have no desire to walk in that faith which God gives His people. They rest upon some acknowledgement of the facts, but their life is completely consumed with self.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there was even a person that was in our midst on several occasions. That person's not here this morning. And probably well be that that person is not here this morning. But that person has said this about us. That place is nothing but a cult. And Jesus Christ has nothing to do with that place. It's all about Walter Pendleton. And the sad part is, a person who has made a profession of faith in this assembly told another individual, you know, I'm starting to think that's true. Now, folks, this is serious business. This ain't no game. This ain't no game. These people hold and feel that they're under the protection of God's grace, and yet they will blaspheme Christ's doctrine.
Exactly.
Call it a cult. And these people, people such as that, people who make such statements of that, are not only ignorant of Scripture, they're actually ignorant of history. To call what we declare, what we declare, to call the gospel of God's free and reigning grace in Christ a cult, manifest their spiritual ignorance. Now, according to Hebrews chapter 11, faith responds.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, especially, and I know it's, well, let me just put it this way. Might be a better way to state it, but especially since the times of Martin Luther, when he began to propound, to proclaim, even amidst Roman Catholics, that justification is by faith and not by the works of the law.
Exactly.
This revitalization of this old truth resounded forth as it had not in years, especially amongst Roman Catholics. Justification by faith. But I'm afraid far too many people have no idea what faith really is. They think faith is giving their heart to Jesus. And as one preacher said, God, Jesus Christ, doesn't want your filthy, corrupt heart.
Exactly.
To give your heart to Jesus is to present before God Almighty the corruption of our fallen state. The only thing presentable to God is Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
There is no other presentation to God that He will accept.
Exactly.
Even those good works which we walk in, having been ordained to walk in them by God from the before the foundation of the world, must be atoned for by Jesus Christ Himself. Because those good works are acted out within us, fallen creatures. As Mason and I think it was Joe, were talking last Sunday, everything we do is tainted by sin.
Yes, sir.
And it must be. It must have blood shed. And that blood was shed some odd 2,000 years ago.
That's it.
Now here's what the apostle writes. I believe it's the apostle Paul. Some don't believe that, but that's neither really here nor there. Here's what Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews, says about faith. Faith receives God as the Creator.
Yes.
That's chapter 11, verse 3. This is a fact. A person who has been given the faith of God's elect does not believe in evolution.
True.
They believe in creation.
Yep.
Period. Faith does not believe anything other than God is the Creator.
Yeah.
Chapter 11, verse 3. Chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 28, as evidenced in Abel and as evidenced in Moses and the Passover. Faith looks to the proper sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Faith will look to no other sacrifice.
Exactly.
Faith doesn't look to works. Faith looks to Christ. And that's the way this whole thing is summed up. All of this faith, this, faith does that, faith does this, faith does that, and it's summed up, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
Faith looks to the proper sacrifice.
Amen.
Thirdly, chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Faith pleases God, for it believes Him and it seeks Him.
Yes, sir.
Next, as seen in Noah and Abraham, chapter 11, verse 7 and 8, faith obeys God's word.
Yes, sir.
I've heard it said, well, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's going to happen, God's going to have to do it. Now, you know that's all true.
Yes, sir.
That's all true.
Yeah.
But you know that the person who says that, you know what that evidences? God's not doing anything in them.
Yeah, pretty much.
You see that? If they say, well, it's not happening now, and if it does happen, God's going to have to do it. That's the truth. But if God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure, what's that mean I'm going to be doing? Willing and doing His good pleasure.
Amen.
If He before ordained that once He saves me by grace, that I begin to walk in those good works He before ordained I should walk in, what am I going to start walking in? Good works.
Exactly.
Just as I told you that Penny was told last week when she began to talk about how her old way of life was a corrupt walk. The believer becomes fed up with, like the prodigal son in the hog trough.
Yes.
God don't save the prodigal son and leave him in the hog trough. The prodigal son being saved does what? He runs home.
Exactly.
He gets out of the hog trough. He may still have the smell of the hog trough on him, David, but he goes home.
Exactly.
He gets out of the hog trough. Why? Right. Because faith obeys God's word.
Amen.
Next, chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Faith finds no home here in this world.
Exactly.
Now, faith doesn't. I might at times, but my faith don't.
Exactly.
Huh? You get that?
Oh, yeah.
You remember, let me bring up Peter again, poor old Peter. Peter again. Our Lord told him, He said, you, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times. But I have prayed for you, Peter, that what?
Yeah.
That you don't fail?
No.
No, he didn't pray that Peter didn't fail. Peter was going to fall.
Exactly.
He could not help but fall. Satan had done desired of the sovereign God to sift him as wheat, and God said, you can do that, and he'll fall three times, and that's it.
Amen. No more.
But I'll tell you this, though Peter fell, his faith didn't fail.
Amen.
You see, faith never fails. I may fail.
Yes, sir.
I will fail.
Yes, sir.
I may sin. I will sin. But faith never sins. Faith never fails.
Amen.
Faith finds no home here in this world. Next, chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Faith discerns God as absolutely faithful in spite of the circumstances to the contrary. Faith says God will do what He's purposed to do. Next, chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. Faith is in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Those who endure for a time and then fall away, they don't have genuine, God-given faith.
That's what it said.
Faith lasts throughout your lifetime. From the time God gives it, it will be there until you awake in His likeness and see Him with your eyes.
Yes, sir.
And then awake in His likeness. When we see Him, we will see Him as He is. Faith is in it for the long haul. Next, chapter 11, verses 17 through 22, as seen in Abraham, as seen in Isaac, as seen in Jacob, and as seen in Joseph. Faith, when tried, it finds hope in God's promise. God's promise. You remember what it says about Abraham, don't you? And I can't quote it. Let me just turn back there and read it. It's Romans, what is it, chapter 4? I believe it is. Verse 18, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Somebody says, why can't I see all this so clearly? Because God ordained it that we don't see it.
Yeah.
We just have to believe Him.
Yes.
Trust Him. Take Him at His word. We must acknowledge His promises are faithful and they just It's not just they shall not fail. They cannot fail.
Amen.
They cannot fail. Faith when tried, finds hope. Next, chapter 11, verses 23, as seen in Moses' parents. Verse 27, as seen in Moses himself. Mm-hmm. And verse 31, as seen in Rahab.
Yes, sir.
The harlot. You remember what I said about Rahab? How would you like to be in the Bible and have your past always remembered?
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah. But I did find one place where her past is not remembered.
Yeah.
Huh? It's in Matthew chapter 1. When she's placed in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's the only time. But think about it. Moses' parents, Moses, Rahab, faith obeys God rather than men.
Yes, sir.
And I like what Tim James says. He was talking about James, who wrote the book, James, the epistle, James.
Yeah.
Who, as Tim put it, wrote the definitive treatise on good works.
Yeah.
Right? That faith without works is dead. That kind of faith is of no value. I'm afraid that's the only kind of faith a lot of folks got.
Exactly.
It's a faith that it may believe God's the creator, but it doesn't look to the right sacrifice.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a faith that may look to the right sacrifice, but it doesn't really seek God. Just uses the sacrifice as some kind of fire escape for hell. You know there's people like that?
Oh yeah.
They believe on Jesus just so they don't have to go to hell. Jesus deserves worship and honor and service, even if I still have to go to hell.
Amen.
He deserves to be worshiped and honored, even if we all, David, still had to go to hell. Whether heaven wasn't even in the equation. He deserves our praise and honor and our magnifying His glorious holy name.
Sir.
Faith's not like that. Now, faith does fear God. And faith fears God's judgment as seen in Noah. God said a flood's coming and everything's going to die but you and your family. Build a boat.
That's right.
Right? So I can see Noah now. Well, Lord, I believe you. So whenever it happens, it'll happen. I'm going to go over here and sit under the shade tree. Would that have been true faith? No. You see, the fact is there have been hundreds, no doubt thousands of people who believe. But they believe by the flesh,
yeah.
Not by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And therein is a danger. Because those people may very well be that group of folks that says, Lord, let us in.
Yeah.
We preached in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name.
Yeah.
Do you think they were unbelievers? Were they rank infidels? No, these were believers. And he shall say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Amen.
I say to myself, this is scary stuff.
Yeah.
Because if I'm deceived, it'll be a rude awakening one day. Will it not?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid there's going to be countless thousands who will find that rude awakening one day. Because the Scripture is quite clear. Our Lord Himself said, there are many that go in at the broad way.
Yeah.
Many!
Yes, sir.
Now, most people I've heard preach from that, most lying preachers, say that this broad way are the drunks, and the dope heads, and the harlots, and the thieves. That's not it. This is a way.
Yeah.
The same many are the same many in verse 21 that knock. Expecting to get in.
Exactly.
The religious many.
Yeah.
There are two ways that men are on. Now, there are some men and women that are on no way.
Yeah.
They're just in the flesh. They live to the degradation and satisfaction of the flesh and the flesh only in its unrighteous corruption. But there are those who can, through an act of sheer will, decide to turn their lives around. And they engage themselves down a path of professing religion. They profess to know the Christ of God. They enter into a way. They have a house. You remember the sand and the rock?
Yeah.
There was a house built upon the rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it stood. But the sand also had a house on it.
That's it.
See, we're talking about religion, professing Christianity.
Exactly.
And there are countless, the majority of people who profess to be saved in Christ are not.
Exactly.
That's what that's telling us. Many are on the broad way. There are few that find the straight and narrow way.
Exactly.
Again, I say that's scary. Bless your heart, you're exactly right. That's scary. As Henry Mahan said, our Lord had 12 disciples and one of them was an apostate.
Exactly.
You know, our Lord Himself, yeah. God Almighty in the flesh, chose 12 men and chose one of them knowing he was a devil.
That's right.
Didn't he? Mm-hmm. Chose him knowing he was a devil, an adversary. Mm-hmm. Knowing he was in fact an unbeliever.
Yeah.
Somebody says, God does stuff like that? Yeah, you bless it well right, He does stuff like that. Let me move along. As I said, chapter 11, verse 23, 27, 31, faith obeys God rather than men. Next, chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, faith chooses suffering with God's people over sinful pleasure. Now, it doesn't say, I always choose suffering over sinful pleasure. Nor does it say, you will always choose suffering with God's people over sinful pleasure. But it does say, faith does that.
Amen.
Right? Faith does that. I like what one preacher said. He said, if you fall, he said, no, he said, when you fall.
Exactly.
You will fall.
Yeah.
I will fall. These people who think they never sin, they're more blind than the blind are.
Exactly.
They're not only blind, Mason, they have darkened glasses on. Right. They willingly blind themselves to the truth.
Yeah.
But let me move along. Chapter 11, verses 32 through 38. Faith triumphs over the enemy.
Yes, sir.
Right? It says they conquered kingdoms. They wielded the sword, Mason, with power and authority through God's might.
Yes, sir.
Faith triumphs over the enemy, but it can also bow the neck to the sword of the enemy, even unto death, if providence so dictates. Now the question I say is, I wonder if I could do that. The question is, if it's not my time to die, I ain't going to have that kind of understanding yet.
Exactly.
If I have faith and God's providence brings me to that, I will be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so will you. Faith triumphs over the enemy, but it can also bow the neck to the sword of the enemy, even unto death, if providence so dictates. And lastly and foremostly, faith looks to Jesus, its author and its finisher. And I've used this phrase before, but I'll use it again. But aren't you glad God doesn't take snapshots of our whole life and then lay them out here one by one and then say, all right, let's see which outweighs the other. Huh?
Yeah.
Let's see if your faith outweighs your unbelief. Huh? Now some may have thought that's what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching your faith may outweigh your... let me tell you, your faith outweighs your unbelief, but you may have more unbelief than you do faith.
Exactly.
You get that?
Yeah.
Your faith weighs more than all your unbelief because your faith is not yours. It didn't stem from you. It didn't stem from me. It stemmed from Jesus, its author and finisher. Faith is a weighty thing because it is intrinsic to God alone.
Right.
God alone believes, has faith in and of Himself.
Yeah.
And He gives faith to us.
Amen.
My faith weighs more than my unbelief, even if my unbelief is of more vastness, more quantity than even my faith.
Well.
Somebody says that's a cop-out. No, that's the facts. That's not a cop-out. That's the facts.
Exactly.
Do we need to go back over this list again? Those who use it as a cop-out, those who use it to satisfy their flesh, do not get this.
Yeah.
They do not have true faith. You know, there were people, what is it, John chapter 8? And it says, and let me turn there and read the words. And look at what it says. You know, you've got... even in our small group, we have people that I fear have put their conscience at ease through holding on to some profession because they believe in free reigning grace. Because they reject free will and they hold to free grace and they think, I've got it. And they don't have it. Why? Because faith receives. Faith looks. Faith believes and seeks. Faith obeys. Faith finds no home in this world. Faith discerns God is absolutely faithful. Faith's in it for the long haul. Faith, when tried, finds hope. Faith obeys God rather than men. Faith chooses to suffer affliction with God's people rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, and so on and so on and so on. John chapter 8. Let me see. Verse 30. Look at what it says. As he spake these words. Now, who's speaking these words? This is none other than Christ himself. God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And as he spake these words, what happened? Many. That ring a bell, that word, many? But what did these many do? Many rejected him. No. It says many believed on him.
Yeah.
Now, does it mean they believed on him or not?
Exactly.
What do you think?
Yeah.
It doesn't say they believed on him. It says they believed on him.
Yeah.
And then moments later,
yeah,
what are they wanting to do?
Yeah.
Kill him.
Exactly.
That kind of faith won't get you nowhere. But in trouble. But in trouble.
Yeah.
Let's read another one. What is it? Acts? The book of the Acts. See if I can find that here. Acts chapter 8. Look at what it says. Verse 12, just for a little context. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself, what? Believed also. But what does it, even moments later, what do we hear Peter telling this man who believed? Not only did he believe, he went in the water. Not only did he go in the water, he followed around with Philip. He took up Philip's ministry.
Yeah.
Joined in with him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And what does Peter tell him just not too long later? Your heart is not right in the sight of God. You have no part nor lot in this matter. It's kind of scary, ain't it? Everybody running around says, I believe. James says the devils believe and they do more than we do.
Yeah.
They tremble.
They tremble. Yes,
they tremble. Kind of frightening, isn't it? See, this thing is not made so that I can read the Bible, say, oh, I believe. Now I'm going to sit down and say, all right, waiting for the end to come. You see, those who believe Christ, they love Christ.
Yes, sir.
And if you love something, what do you do? If you love something, what do you do? Let's just get down to the... You spend money on it.
Yeah.
You spend time with it.
Yeah.
You think about it.
Yeah.
You protect it.
Yeah.
Don't you? If you love something, you give your all to it, don't you?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's it.
Your life, if you love something, your life is consumed by it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Countless thousands of people. This past week, they love hunting. And what do? They'll spend thousands of dollars and go out and almost get frostbite to go out and stand in the snow.
Yep.
Why? Because I love it.
Yeah.
Huh? It's all right. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not depraved. Maybe. Maybe. But there's all kinds of things that men love. There's a love that's not of God.
Yeah.
And there's a love that is of God.
Yes, sir.
There's a faith that's not of God. And there's a faith that is of God. There are works that are not of God. And there are works that are of God.
Yes, sir.
And all of these things that are of God, love, faith, works, they all come in a joint package.
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other.
Exactly.
Period. And as I told you last week, well, you're preaching works now. You blessed well right, I'm preaching works now. Scripture says that His people are supposed to be zealous of good works.
Amen.
Right? But we're to be careful to maintain good works, right?
Amen.
And it's not, oh, well, I've got to do a good work today. Huh? If you love something, what? You give yourself to it, don't you? You give your heart to it. You give your mind to it. You give your soul to it. As I said, faith foremostly looks to Christ. It looks to Christ. And let me turn back there and just read that. Hebrews chapter 11. In light of this whole thing, you know, faith, a faith that receives God as Creator, faith that looks to the proper sacrifice, faith that believes God and seeks God, faith that obeys God's Word, faith that finds no home here in this world, faith that discerns God is absolutely faithful no matter what. A faith that's in it for the long haul. A faith that finds hope when it's tried. A faith that obeys God rather than men. A faith that chooses to suffer with God's people rather than enjoy sinful pleasure. A faith that triumphs over the enemy or can bow down under God's providence to it. Whatever it is, this faith is a faith that looks to Christ. You see, if I could have all these other things, okay, and I'm not looking to Christ, I don't have true faith. Right? If I got a faith that obeys God's Word, it says don't steal, so I don't steal. Right? It says don't commit adultery, so I don't commit adultery. It says don't lie, so I don't lie. And I'm not looking to Christ. It's not the faith of God's elect.
Exactly.
You see, this faith has all of these characteristics. They will not be seen always in all their characteristics at one any given time. Do you understand what I'm saying now? All of these characteristics are definitive of the faith of God's elect. I don't like the word, but the potential is there for all these things, Mason. You know? It's all there. And that potential will be realized when God works in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
But the point is, at any given time, you will not see all these characteristics at once. At any given time, you may see one exemplified more than another. But thank God, at least it's there.
Yes, sir.
Ain't it?
That's it.
At least it's there. But the whole consuming thing, it's all summed up in this. What we have is division 12, chapter 12. The writer's not, it's still, this is still a continual thought. Where it says, verse 40, the previous chapter, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, they're not going to reach it and attain all to it till we get right there with them.
Yeah.
We're all going to come in together, Joe. All of us. But look, wherefore?
Yes.
In other words, you can say, I'm going to summarize here. Right?
Yeah.
Wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Why? Well, it takes a long time for all these things to be manifest. That's why.
Yeah.
You say, but I don't see that too much in me. Well, I know, but do you see a little bit?
Yeah.
Hmm? And I'm not saying you see that coming from you. You see that in you by a work of God's grace. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
And he wasn't talking about his flesh there.
Exactly.
I am what I am in Adam because of Adam.
Yeah.
I am what I am in Christ because of God Almighty.
Amen.
And what I am in Adam is what God Almighty condemned me to.
Yeah.
No, and run with patience the race set before us. And I do again like what Tim James said here. Don't try to figure out what your race is.
Yeah.
Just run it.
There you go.
Look to Christ. That's the point. It don't say figure out the race.
Uh-huh.
Well, what track am I on? You're on the track God put you on.
Exactly.
Well, why am I over here and everybody else is over there? Because God said for you to be over here right now.
Right.
That's why. You know? Why? Do you not know of your past experience? Can you not relate to how Peter must have felt as he was there swearing and cursing, I don't know the so-and-so?
Yeah.
Huh? You ever been there? Not being able to, knowing better, Joe, but not being able to help yourself.
Yeah.
Huh? knowing I shouldn't say this or do this, but you couldn't help yourself. You know why? Because God Almighty ordained to allow Satan or some enemy or even your flesh to sift you as wheat. Why does God do that? To remind us of what we really are.
Yes, sir.
And to remind us that without Him we are truly nothing.
Amen.
And that's why. If it was not for God Almighty's sovereign hand, I would be the most sinful, corrupt, reprobate that ever walked the face of this earth.
That's it.
Why? Because I've already been there.
Yeah.
I've been in the hole of the pit.
Yes, sir.
But you know what God did? He digged me out of it.
Amen.
He didn't clean up the hole of the pit and let me live in the hole of the pit. It says, look to the hole of the pit. Yes, remember where you were. But that's the whole point. Remember where you what? Were.
Yeah.
Look to the hole of the pit from whence you are digged.
Exactly.
Again, I say, God don't leave us in the hole.
No,
he digs us out of the hole.
Amen.
God don't leave the lost sheep in the wilderness. He goes out and finds it and brings it all the way home.
Amen.
The prodigal son doesn't stay in the hog trough. When he comes to himself, how does he do that? By God's grace.
Exactly.
When he comes to himself, he says, I got nothing but slop.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I've got nothing. My Father has it all. I will arise and go to my Father.
Amen.
This wasn't a chore. This was a blessing.
Exactly.
And when you find people coming to Jesus, well, I guess I've got to do this or I'll go to hell. Well, you might as well go on to hell. Well, that's where you're going anyway.
Yeah.
Huh? You might as well. Do lolly skip and enjoy yourself while you can.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, that's where they're going.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that clean themselves up. Mm-hmm. They get religion.
Oh, yeah.
And that religion has with it the name of the sovereign God Himself.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? Let us not think, well, the Arminians, they're all them free-willers, they're all lost. All of us us Calvinists, we're all saved. That ain't so. That ain't so. Just because you believe in free, just because you believe in election and predestination, God's absolute sovereignty, doesn't mean you got it. As I said last week, the devils believe that.
Yes, sir.
They know what the facts are.
Oh, yeah.
They know about judgment. They know their judgment's sure. Nothing they can do about it.
Exactly.
You remember that group of demons? They said, we know who you are. You're the Son of God.
Yeah.
Are you come to torment us before our time? And they begged leave of him to be able, not rather than be cast into hell, but to go into that herd of swine. And guess what happened?
Yeah.
What happened to that herd of swine?
Yeah.
They ran off a cliff and drowned.
That's
so
right.
Where'd them demons go anyway?
Yeah.
Where Christ Almighty was pleased to send them.
Yeah.
You see, Christ Almighty don't bow to the demons. The demons bow to him.
Exactly.
Yes, Satan and demons are God's enemy. But they're God's enemy on his leash.
Yes, sir.
As I said before, the devil can't spit lest God gives him say-so.
Exactly.
He can't move lest God tells him move. Satan has to ask permission of God for anything he does. It has to be according to God's own purpose. But as I said, there are people. They get cleaned up. And before you turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, that's where I'm going. But you remember our Lord gave an example. And I think I've already mentioned this, but our Lord gave an example of somebody who had the demon is gone out of them, and they clean themselves up. They clean their house up. They sweep it. They garnish it. They decorate it up with all the nice smelling things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then that demon comes back and finds it swept and garnished.
Yeah.
But what else?
Yeah.
Empty. And that demon moves into that person with more demons who are even worse than the first demon. And Christ said the latter state is worse with that person than their first state.
Exactly.
Peter knew this too. Peter heard these things.
Yeah.
And look at what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. This is no game. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is serious business. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're talking about sovereign grace here now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Not talking about a false gospel. We're not talking about free willism. We're talking about through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein, and what? overcome.
Yes.
Let me tell you, even God's people can be entangled in those things again.
Oh, yeah.
And you will be and I will be.
Oh, yeah.
But we won't be if we're His. What?
Overcome.
Amen. But these people who've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For, and this is amazing to me, for it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Amen.
That's dangerous ground.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine the nightmare that it will seem when people who expect to enter into the presence of the Lord will hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you."
Yeah.
Can you imagine the horror? And then to be cast into everlasting damnation to where you can't ever say, "Well, at least I'm halfway to the end of this." Huh? Mm-hmm. Just as glory is eternal, damnation is ever, or I should say everlasting, it is eternal.
Yeah.
Damnation is everlasting too. You see, for those who will finally be cast away and banished from the presence of God in the lake of fire will never be able to say, "All right, I'm a quarter of the way there.
Yeah.
I'm half the way there. I'm three quarters of the way there. It's almost over." David, it will never, ever be over. But the glory of the other side. That glory, we will never have to fear. Well, it's halfway over. Well, it's three quarters of the way over. That glory will be forever.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, it's only to those who die with the faith of God's elect.
Amen.
Not the faith of religion, not the faith of this world, not the faith of the flesh, but only the faith of God's elect. And the problem is, the hard part about it, only I can know that for me through the Spirit of God. You can help me with that, and I can help you with that. Only God Almighty, through His Word and His Spirit, can help you with that. As I've told others, I cannot give you assurance. All I can do is try to preach the truth. Only God can give us assurance.
That's it.
And that's it. Father, I pray that as we join together in this meal, that we would enjoy fellowship with one another. And help us always to be mindful and prayerful for one another. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Everybody stay and eat.